Well, those all-important numbers in the Senate have been thrown into disarray with Bob Day's election to Parliament to be referred to the High Court. At this stage, it is still unclear who will replace the Family First Senator, who has announced already that he will quit his position. Our political editor, Alison Carabine, joins us. Hello, Alison.
Good morning, Fran.
Now, we learned yesterday that Bob Day had finally resigned his Senate position. We thought that was all about his financial situation of his company. Mm-hmm. But now we learn his election to the Senate may have been invalid in the first place, and this could take months to sort out, couldn't it?
Oh, it will, Fran. Bob Day's re-election to the Senate in July will almost certainly be referred to the High Court, which will sit as the Court of Disputed Returns, and it will be up to the court to decide whether Bob Day had either a direct or an indirect pecuniary interest in the Commonwealth, and whether or not it's a serious enough breach of Section 44 of the Constitution to mean that he should have been ruled ineligible to take his seat in the first place. Now, this pecuniary interest involves a contract with the Commonwealth to pay rent for a building which is owned indirectly by Bob Day and which he used as his electoral office. Now, if the High Court rules his election was invalid, it would then, according to precedent, order a recount of the Senate vote in South Australia. So that would mean that the vacancy created yesterday by Bob Day's resignation would not be filled by Family First. Now, it's anyone's guess who would win such a recount, possibly the Liberal Party, but more likely Labor or even One Nation. That would, in all likelihood, change the composition of the Senate, make it even trickier for the government, Fran.
Yeah, well, what does this current situation do in this stalemate? Because of all the crossbenches, Bob Day, I think you could say, was probably the most sympathetic to the government. Is his absence, though, necessarily going to make it harder for the coalition to pass some of its key bills in the meantime, next week, for instance?
No, it won't. In the longer term, it will be more difficult for the government, but not in the short term. When you look at the simple arithmetic, while the High Court sorts out this mess, the government will need 38 votes to pass legislation. That's down from 38 because Bob Day will be absent. He's quit Parliament. So instead of needing 9 of the 11 cross benches while Bob Day was in the Senate, it will now need 8 out of 10. So the mathematics don't really change in the short term. There are some major bills before the Senate next week. There's the Australian Building and Construction Commission, also the lifetime ban on refugees. I suspect the government will proceed with those votes. It's not in the coalition's interest to add to any sense or perception of chaos or dysfunction. It will want everything to be seen as business as usual, Fran. Mm.
The lifetime ban on the refugees, the asylum seekers that you mentioned there, Kevin Rudd has weighed in on this. He's accused Malcolm Turnbull of appeasing not just One Nation, but, quote, the mad right of his own party. As the former PM, is he locking in Bill Shorten here to not support this legislation?
Well, I think he's certainly making it a bit harder for Bill Shorten to oppose the legislation when it finally goes to a vote. The former Prime Minister certainly of the view it should be blocked, and he would be backed up by significant parts of the Labor Party. He's written an op-ed today for the Fairfax Papers in which he describes the ban on refugees on Manus Island and Nauru as a new low for Australian politics. Now, I'll give you just one excerpt, Fran. The measure is designed to throw red meat at the right, including the Hansenite insurgency, and to grovel to the broad politics of xenophobia. Malcolm Turnbull, once an intelligent global citizen, knows better. Bill Shorten pretty much said as much on Monday, though he didn't use the same extravagant language. We're not going to get Labor's position until it sees the legislation next week. Kevin Rudd's certainly pushing it to oppose.
Okay. Alison, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Alison Carabine, our political editor. And after 7:30, we'll be joined by the government's deputy leader in the Senate, Matthias Cormann, for try and get some clarity around the situation of Bob Day and what happens next. And after 8, senior Labor frontbencher Anthony Albanese is our guest.